table is where life happens. It's where imagination runs wild. Where lessons are learned. And wonders are built. The table is where time can stop. Where wounds are comforted. And freedom begins. It's where we find peace. And we laugh till it hurts. The table is where we gather with family, new and old, to share stories, to nourish our bodies, to enrich our souls. The table is where we give thanks and where we remember what great gifts we have been given.
Have you ever noticed that when you're hosting a dinner party or a barbecue that you spend days preparing for the day? That you set up seating in the living room and the family room, or maybe outside in the patio for people to gather, and everybody gathers in the kitchen. Did you ever notice that? Now, why is it everybody gathers in the kitchen? Because there's something special about that table. That's a place where relationships are renewed, where there's a sense of love and community, where everybody kind of gathers, right? Because there's something special about that table. What I'd like to do this morning as we begin is just to invite you to maybe close your eyes. Don't go to sleep, but close your eyes. All right? And I want you to remember a special meal. A special meal that was a part of your life, something that was memorable. It might have been a barbecue that you had with the family over the summertime, or a picnic in the mountains. It might be a Thanksgiving meal or Easter or Christmas or a birthday celebration or something. Maybe it's just a gathering of old friends that finally got together for a reunion. What made that meal special? What brought that meal to mind? Was it the delicious food that you ate that was a part of that meal? Was it the warmth and the love that you felt as you gathered with those people? Was it the laughter that you shared and the memories that you were able to recall together around that table? What was it that made that meal special? There's something about the table, right? There's something about the table. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Today we're talking about communion. We've been going through the six chief parts of the Luther's Catechism because we're celebrating the 500th year of the anniversary of the Reformation, 500th year anniversary of the Reformation. We've gone through the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us. We said that right up here not too long ago. We went through great portions of the Apostles' Creed, of what we believe, teach, and confess that the Bible teaches us and the Word that God speaks into our lives. We've talked about baptism just last week. We're in the midst of the sacraments. We've talked about the Ten Commandments. And today we're talking about the Lord's Supper. Welcome to the Lord's table. This is the supper that our Lord first gave us on Maundy Thursday, the night he was betrayed, the night before he was carried off into captivity. Have you ever wondered why Jesus would come to us in something so common and so ordinary as a meal? Because there's something special about the table, right? There's something special that happens as we gather around the table. If you think about Jesus' life, a great number of the stories that we know about his life and times, his ministry on this earth, involved meals, right? His very first miracle happened at a feast, a marriage feast. And then there was the time when he would sit and gather with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law as they invited him to be a part of their community. But then later on, he was accused by those very same people for eating and drinking with sinners and tax collectors, the less savory part. How dare he be in communion with those people? And then there was the feeding of the 5,000, where he gathered together 5 loaves and 2 little fish and fed thousands. And then there was a time when at the seashore, as his disciples, after he had risen from the dead, went fishing. Unsuccessful night of fishing, and there Jesus had fish broiling over, roasting over a fire. Breakfast ready. And then the night that he was betrayed, the night before he died for us, he gathered his disciples together for a meal called the Lord's Supper. There's something special about the table. What happens around this table? Well, there's a whole bunch of things that happen around the table, but I'd like to just talk about a few of them. First of all, we remember. Have you ever sat down at the table with your family or a bunch of friends, and before long, all of a sudden, somebody says, "Hey, you remember when?" Ever have that happen? And then once that part happens, then there's another one. Remember when? Remember when? Do you remember when Grandpa, when Grandma made that apple pie? Do you remember that? And remember when she made that apple pie, she laid it out to cool. And in the middle of the night, Grandpa got hungry, needed his midnight snack. He saw that pie there. Do you remember when Grandpa took a knife and carefully carved off the top of the pie, laid the crust off to the side, ate all the filling, and then took toothpicks and put the pie crust on top? Do you remember that? Do you remember when Grandma found out what he did? How mad she was? True story, folks. But I wasn't there. That happened, my mom tells that story, that happened before I was born. But you know what? Whenever my mom tells that story, she invites me into that story, and it becomes my story. That's what was happening on Maundy Thursday. Jesus and his disciples were gathered together celebrating the Passover, and they were talking about, remember when? Remember when we were slaves in Egypt and how we cried out to our Lord and he heard us? Do you remember when God spoke to Moses in the fiery bush and sent Moses to come and deliver us? Remember when God sent all those plagues? Do you remember when the Lord said, I want you to prepare a special meal, lamb chops and unleavened bread and bitter herbs and things like that? Remember when he told us to take a little bit of that blood and put it on our doorpost? Remember when the angel of death came, killing the firstborn in every family, but he passed over us because of the blood of the lamb? Do you remember when all that happened to us? Funny thing was, the disciples weren't there. That happened centuries before, but as they remembered, they were invited into that story, and that story became theirs. And then Jesus said, remember when? Remember when Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body. Remember when he said, do this and to remember when? Remember when he took the cup and after he had given thanks, remember when he gave it to his disciples and said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Remember when he said, do this to remember when? As he gave us this and told the story, and as we tell the story every Sunday as we celebrate this, we are invited into the story of what Jesus did on the cross. When he sacrificed his body and he shed his blood for us. Remember when? Something else happens at this table. We celebrate. Ever notice how some of those favorite meals were gathered around celebrations? How many of you were celebrating at the meal that you remembered? A lot of those meals were celebrating something, right? In about a month, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. If ever there was a gathering over a meal to celebrate, it was Thanksgiving, right? And it still is. It started with a feast as the pilgrims and the Native Americans of the time gathered together to celebrate and to give thanks for being able to survive the winter and to give thanks for the bounty. And so we do the same. We gather around, count our blessings, and thank our Lord God for all that He's given to us. And then there's those national holidays where we gather around at picnics for the 4th of July, the Independence Day, or Memorial Day, or Labor Day, or Veterans Day. And as we gather together on those various occasions, we remember when, and we celebrate what happened. There's Easter and Christmas when we remember and celebrate what our Christ has done for us, what our God did to us, for us, as He sent His Son into our lives, and as He rose from the dead, giving us the promise of eternal life. We celebrate. But some of the greatest celebrations are those quiet, intimate little dinners. When we sit down and celebrate birthdays, or we celebrate an anniversary, and we celebrate the love that we share, the intimacy that we share with that other person that the Lord brought into our lives. And that's the celebration that our Lord comes to us. He says, "This is my body. This is my blood. I'm right here, sitting down, intimately talking with you. I'm here at this supper with you. And I'm telling you, I love you, and I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you all." And He celebrates, and He invites us into that celebration that we can know that we are loved and that He calls us to love Him, and He empowers us to love Him. Because something else happens at this table, something very basic. We're nourished. The fact is, folks, we need food, right? When a little child is born into our family, one of the very first things a mother does for the child is to feed that child, to teach that child how to eat. But we don't give a small child or even an older child just anything they want to eat, do we? Because we know that good food is important. We need healthy food because it gives us energy. It gives us the fuel that our body needs to keep going. It gives us the building blocks that are necessary to make this body grow stronger and healthy. I remember I had a health teacher. The health teacher used to tell me, "You are what you eat." What that teacher was trying to tell me was, and the rest of the kids in the class, was that, you know, what you eat becomes a part of who you are. What you eat becomes a part of what your body is. And if you eat junk food, your body's going to be junky. It's not going to be able to have the energy it needs. It's not going to be built well to be able to stand firm when the onslaught of disease, viruses, and germs attack you, when the stresses of life, physical and emotional and spiritual stresses, come into your life. You need good, healthy food to build good, healthy bodies so that you can withstand all of that in life. You would have the energy and the sustenance that you need to continue on. And Jesus says to us, "This is my body. This is my blood." Healthy food for you. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when Pastor Dave or I come to you at the end of communion, we dismiss you with a blessing. And the blessing is, "Now may the true body and the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you, keeping you firm." Now, why do we say that? Because Jesus comes to us. And he says, as you participate in my body and blood, as you drink this wine and eat this bread, I'm coming to you. I'm becoming a part of you. I'm becoming one with you. I'm communing, becoming one with you. With you, and then with you, and then with you, and then with you, and you, and you, as an individual. I'm coming to you. He says, this is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you, for the remission of your sins. I'm removing that barrier that stands between us, that barrier of sin. I'm taking it away, and I'm giving you my gifts of life and salvation. For as Martin Luther says, where there is forgiveness of sins, there's also life and salvation. I'm giving you my gifts, and I want you to know I'm with you every step of the way. Every time we take communion, he's reminding us that he's with us through thick and thin, through the good times and the bad times, through the ups and the downs of life, and he never leaves us. He is one with us. He walks with us. And there's something very interesting that goes along with that nourishment. As he gives himself to us, we grow closer to one another. As he becomes one with you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, what happens to you collectively? If each one of you and me are one with Christ, we've been communed or become one with him through this gift, then do we not also become one with one another? We become the body of Christ. It's the same thing that just happened to Ruby Jewel here. As she became a child of God, she became one with us. God ushered her into the communion of saints, the Holy Christian Church. And that's what Christ does through this gift. He restores us to be part of the body of Christ. We become members of one another. Think about that. Members of one another. This last week, I've been privileged not only to baptize 4 babies, but I've also had the privilege of being able to serve communion to hundreds of you. Last week, as we gathered together, many of you took communion from me, and the others took communion from Pastor Dave or one of our elders. But during the course of the week, we've also been privileged to be able to give communion to other people that either because of the effects of aging or illness were not able to be here on Sunday morning. And as we go to serve them and we give them communion, out of the people that I gave communion to this week, over half of them were moved to tears. Either the tears just welled up in their eyes or they started pouring down their cheeks. Why? Those weren't tears of sadness. Those weren't tears of pain or suffering or loneliness. Those were tears of joy. Because in their aloneness, they were reminded, they were told to remember that I, your Lord Jesus, come to you. He invited them into his story of forgiveness and well-being. They were able to celebrate the love that God has for them, knowing that he came to them in person and that he's walking with them every step of every day through the ups and the downs, through the aloneness that they are experiencing. They're never alone. He nourished them. He came to them in the flesh and the blood, in with and under the bread and the wine. We don't understand that, but Jesus told us that. And so we believe him, we take him at his word. And as they participated in the body and blood of Jesus, they were nourished. They were built up. They were given the strength to be able to continue on, to face another day. And finally, they were reunited with you and me. Even though they're not able to come into worship here, they were reunited with us. And now they know that there's a cloud of witnesses, a communion of saints, a holy Christian church, a body of Christ that's praying for them, supporting them, standing behind them, cheering them on. Folks, something special happens at the table. And when you think about this being Christ coming to us, why would we want to be anyplace else? Amen.